The Arabian Desert is a harsh environment, known more for taking life than giving it. And yet, life often springs up when conditions seem most difficult. The Hashemite Kingdom of Jordan has long been recognized as a unique desert oasis of peace and moderation in the midst of violence, extremism, and hatred. Jordan, located at the epicenter of the Middle East peace crisis, has enjoyed unequaled stability while her neighbors taste the bitterness of war and strife. The world has taken note that Jordan holds a strategic position in a volatile geopolitical atmosphere while enduring one of the largest refugee crises the world has ever known. Yet something beautiful is growing in this desert place. God is at work. We invite you to peer past the headlines to where God is working and give thanks for the marvelous things He has done in this desert place. At the start of the new millennium, God sent a laborer out of Lebanon, Ghassan Haddad, into the harvest field of Jordan. By God's grace, a church was planted, but the desert often reclaims its territory, and the area around this new ministry was growing less and less favorable. Trusting in God's guiding hand, the church was transplanted in new ground. God is opening doors to minister to others in this new location under a new name, Faith Independent Baptist Church. The leaders of the church planting team prayed for years for God to raise up a Jordanian believer to take the role of spiritual leader for this ministry. God answered these prayers in the person of Brother Iser Mazahre. Brother Iser was born in a conservative Catholic family. He was religious, yet had no personal relationship with God. At age 12, he was sent by the Catholic Church to become a priest. But after 2 years, he left the monastery, turned away from religion, and became an atheist. Some 9 years later, an old friend invited him to a Baptist church youth meeting, where he heard the preacher speaking about salvation in Christ alone. He felt as if the preacher was speaking directly to him that night. Iser accepted the Lord as his Savior in 1990 at the age of 23. He was baptized and joined the Amman Baptist Church in Amman, Jordan. He soon began serving the Lord with a Baptist bookstore in the city. They would distribute Christian literature at book fairs in the region, which was an open door in those days to share the gospel. Iser was able to impact many people in the Arab world through this ministry in Iraq, Syria, Yemen, Lebanon, Egypt, Sudan, Libya, and Algeria. Over a period of 7 years, Brother Iser would also go monthly across the Iraqi border to distribute food and Bibles. Iser had known Pastor Ghassan Haddad since 2000, but began to build a closer friendship in 2010 when Iser began to study with the Biblical Theological Seminary. It was there that Iser would develop a deep appreciation for the foundational principles of the Independent Baptist Churches. He finished his studies with BTS with a master's degree, and Pastor Haddad asked him to pray about helping him in the church ministry. Having resisted pastoral ministry for many years, Iser finally responded to God's leading. He and his family joined the relocation effort of the ministry, and then in May of 2015, the Faith Independent Baptist Church extended an official invitation to Brother Iser to become its first Jordanian pastor. Iser and his wife Fatin were married in 1993 and have 4 children, Raed, Mario, Lean, and Matthew. Pray for Brother Iser and his family as they seek to fulfill his vision for the work in Jordan. We are praying towards the goal of 50 members. While we continue to build relationships with those around us, relationships are the foundation of all ministry in the Middle East. Once the church is strong enough, Brother Iser hopes to take a team of core members to an unreached part of Amman to start a new work. The local church is still God's method for spreading His truth across the globe. We're praying for a permanent location for this ministry to provide stability and longevity for the next generation of Arab believers. God be praised for all He has done through a fledgling local church, a young, growing biblical training program, and through faithful, spiritually hungry Middle Eastern men and women, desperate for the hand of God to show Himself mighty in a dry and thirsty land. Would you commit to pray for Brother Iser and his family as they continue to serve Christ together in the challenging field of Jordan? And pray for God to open the eyes and hearts of his people, that we all might see the Arab world through his eyes of grace, mercy, and hope, removing the blinding veil of media, culture, and hatred, to see the souls of men, women, and children with tears in our eyes, compassion in our hearts, grace and truth on our lips, and the Word of God in our hands.
Away from the Lord, away from Christianity as religion, away from everything, I reject to go to the church, even if it's a funeral, even if it's a wedding ceremony. So that's how that 2 years affected into my life. After 11 years, I get an invitation from my friend to his birthday, and we went, and he said, why don't you come with me to the church? And that was the first time I said yes, but I don't know why I said yes. He took me with him, and we went there, and it was a Southern Baptist church, and it was youth meeting. But it was very conservative, and they still conservative. Then they start singing. I was sitting. I was surprised why they are happy, why they are rejoicing, why they are singing. And I was about to leave many times, but something was pushing me down stage. Then they finished their singing, and the preacher started preaching, and he was preaching from John, the Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20. Most of you know the verse. I'm standing on the door, and to be honest, he was preaching and he was telling my story. He was preaching about me. He was telling my story sometimes in detail. So I was very embarrassed and very shy from where he gets my information, from where he gets to know my story. So I was about to leave many times, but there was something pushed me, keep me staying. And he finished his sermon, and he opened, to someone, if somebody, somebody wants to accept the Lord Jesus Christ. Then he was saying, let us bow our head to pray, and I said, I'm not bowing my head, I'm not believing in your God. So he looked at me and said, let's bow our head and pray, and I said, I'm not bowing my head, so I'm not believing in your God. Third time he shouted, then I said, let me bow my head, I want to go home, I don't want to keep staying here the whole night. And he started praying, and he said, if someone wants to surrender his life to our Lord Jesus Christ, just raise your hand, and we'll be praying for you. And I raised my hand, but that wasn't me. And that was the starting of the real story. It was 27 years ago, and I can say it is the only 27 years, true years in my life. Other 23 years was wasting. Since that time I'm with the Lord, I start my ministry in a Christian bookstore ministry. I was a personal witnessing to people when I was going around in book fairs, and the Lord opened many chances to me. I was always rejecting to be preaching and to be pastor, because I always knew that it's the most hard job in the world. I was rejecting till the Lord pushed me to the seminary, and I finished my master's degree in theological studies. But I had before a bachelor degree in law, and I was going to be a lawyer, but the Lord did not give me the chance to be a lawyer. I believe that he protected me not to be a liar. So that's what happened with me. This is my story. I started pastoring the church in 2015 after, resisting for many years. We started in our new location. We moved for time, by the way, because we are in a renting apartment. So every time the landlord wants to raise up the rent, we have to move. So we moved for time. Every time we lost some members, till we get down to 9 members when we start in our new location. And now the Lord blessed us, and now we are 35, sometimes 40 attendants in our church, which means it's a great blessing in 3 years for us in a very small country. Jordan is a very small country. The size of Jordan is smaller than Indiana State. The population is 10.2 million. 98% of Jordanian population is 98% is Muslim. So Christians are very few. And when I say Christians, we are saying about every kind of denomination there. Catholic, Greek Orthodox, Roman Catholic, Evangelical, Mormons. So all of them are just 2%, 200%. So this is our country. Our country is 58% of the country is desert, so there is no life there. Jordan now hosting more than 600,000 Iraqi refugees, more than 1.8 million Syrian refugees. There is Libyan refugees also, there is Yemenis, there is from every kind of people from most of the nationalities around the world in Jordan. Some of them are missionaries helping in the refugees camp. Some of them are workers. We have more than 700,000 Egyptian laborers in Jordan also. So Jordan is a very small country, but it's a very mixed country. Our goal, you will see it in the DVD later, our goal is to be 50 members in the church. We will take out 10. Another needy place to start another independent Baptist with the 10, and will we keep doing this as the Lord will allowing us to grow up to 50. As soon as we get 50 in any place, we will take 10 to start a new work in another place, needy place for churches. I'm married since 1993. I'm just giving you a brief. I'm married since 1993, and I have 4 kids. One girl and three boys. The oldest is in his last year. He is studying to be a doctor, medical doctor. He is in his last year, and now he is in Texas. He is doing a medical relative something for 2 months, and he will be back to Jordan. The second is studying to be PharmD, and he is in his third year in the college. My daughter in her last year in the high school, and the youngest is 10 years old. All of them, my wife is working in Jordan, and all of them are believers, loving the Lord, helping in the ministry, and they are very, very blessing from the Lord to us as a family. I hope if there is some question that I can answer for you, I'm open to. No, Jordan. The Jordanian people, the language in Jordan is Arabic language. It's an Arabic country, but you can say more than 50% of Jordanian people can speak English, and they are speaking good English, better than me. My kids is fluent in English. They are teaching English in the schools, so Jordanian people can communicate in English with anybody. There is some people who speak French, Spanish, but the main language, the second language in Jordan is English. Sometimes you will see it as the first language because people are speaking English very much. Other nationalities can communicate in English. They are not living separately. They are living in the community. Jordanian people are friendly. Most of them are friendly. I'm not saying all of them. And I don't know how long they will stay friendly because now Jordan is one of the safest country in the Arab world, especially in the Middle East, because you know Syria, Iraq, Israel, Lebanon is on our border from the all sides. So Jordan still till now safe, but we don't know what will happen because there is something in their heart always, as they are practicing their belief. Jordan, there is no, the Shia in Jordan is very, very little, more than, less than 100%. All Muslims in Jordan are Sunnis. So there is no conflict in Jordan between Sunnis and Shia. You need to be careful when you want to talk with Muslims, especially because we are living in a Muslim country. You are not allowed to open the conversation because you are not allowed to evangelize in public. But after building a good relationship with someone, you can talk with him about Jesus. We have in our church two families from Muslim background, and they get baptized last year. But it takes you very, very, very long time. But no, yes.
So, out of, you answered part of my question, how much of your church is made up of former Muslims, but, so then the rest of, and I don't know how big or how many numbers the size of your church would be, but are most of the, are you dealing with people that are converted from other forms of Christianity, and then some Muslims, or what's that dynamic like?
Yes, most of our members in the church converted even from Catholic or from Greek Orthodox or from Muslim background. Because, you know, the evangelical work started in Jordan lately in 1942. So the Catholic, the Greek Orthodox is the majority, the Catholic is the second. The evangelical churches are very few. We have 70 evangelical churches in Jordan. The members of all the 70 is less than 6,000. So you can see how small.
And so, are there big cultural differences between those groups from the religious background, or is there a?
The culture is the same. The culture is the same. They are practicing the same kind of culture, the same kind of customs.
Did you say there were 70 or 70? 70. 70. 70.
But most, there is 24 churches for the Southern Baptist, and the Nazarenes, the Missionary Alliance, Pentecostal, and Evangelical Free Churches.
So you can't evangelize openly. Do you have to worship in secret?
No. No, we don't have to worship in secret. We still have a small kind of freedom to practice worshiping, not evangelizing. We can practice our worship inside the building freely. Nobody will say anything to you, but you can't go out and preach in the street. You can't go out and evangelize in the street publicly. Otherwise, you will be in jail directly.
What about carrying the Bible in public? Is that
carrying the Bible? No, it's not problem. Yeah. It's not problem. You can carry your Bible publicly. And it's sometimes it's one of the way that somebody will ask you, what is this book? Mm-hmm. And if he start asking, you can answer his question. But if you can't start asking him. Maybe you can start conversation and move him to let him ask you a question, but it sometimes takes you a very long time. Yeah, Jordan is very, very poor country. There is no natural resources. There is no oil. There is no water. We are getting portion of our water from Israel because we have a peace treaty with them. We have a good relationship with them as Jordan government and Israeli government. We get another portion of water from Syria. So Jordan is the second country in the world with small amount versus South Africa, and maybe you heard about South Africa, they are going out of water, so they are facing a crisis now. But Jordan is the second country. So Jordan is a very poor country. As a Jordanian government, they are investing in people. So Jordanian now is well-educated people. So they are investing in them. They are going outside Jordan working and sending money to their families. As a Jordanian government, we are depending on aids. The first country who helped Jordan is the United States, the second, Canada and the European Union. So Jordan is depending on aids coming from outside. But now Jordan, if you look to Jordan, you will see it a well-developed country because the government is working hard for that. But it all depends on AIDS, how much they help the country. Yes.
And how did she come to know the Lord?
In 1991, she accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as her Savior. She was from Greek Orthodox background, and she met the Lord in an evangelical church also, in Southern Baptist Church in her town. So the Lord is working, still working, even if it's very black picture there. You are seeing war, conflict, people killing each other, kicking each other out of their homes. But you know, the Lord is still working. There is many chances, many doors open, especially with the refugees. You know, the refugees is a very wide field to evangelize. And nobody will stop you if you are going there to evangelize the refugees. Because they are not Jordanian, they are coming, and they know that they are leaving. So it's okay. So we had some chances with them. Many Iraqi refugees in Jordan accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, and many of them are now serving the Lord, even here in the state or in Australia, in Canada, in Europe. So the Lord used this crisis, for the good of the church. It's really sad, but you know the other bright side that most of them accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior.
Yes, sir. So are you centrally located in Jordan, or are you to the east or west?
No, I am living in Jordan with my family. We are in Amman, the capital city of Jordan. We are there, my kids there, and my kids and my wife now there in Amman. I'm here for the mission, for our ministry.
What is your main goal in this trip in the States?
Our main goal, I have, and the Lord won't me. Thank you for this question. I never share this because unless someone asks me, our main goal is to have a permanent location for the ministry. If the Lord will allow us to have a good partner, that will be great. The second goal is for a personal support for me because I'm on my 58th on my needs. So I'm here for this also. Our location now is in Amman, the capital of Jordan, and it's in area called Seventh Circle. And we are renting apartment, first story. We call it first, but it's the second. The first is a small school for Japanese embassy, and we are renting the upstairs. So it's an apartment. 250 square meters. We have both ministry in the same apartment, the BTS, Biblical Theological Seminary, and the church in the same building.
How many students are studying in the seminary?
Now we have between 21 and 27 students.
Wow.
Last year we celebrate our 15th anniversary for the BTS. And last year we had the graduation also, student graduated. Yes, we had many who came. We had two came from Vermont here. We had Brother Bruce Patterson taught in our seminary. We have Brother Stephen Birch also taught in our seminary. We have also pastors coming from North Carolina, South Carolina. Whoever the Lord put in his heart to teach and offer, we are welcoming to have them with us to teach. Now we have among our students, now we have four pastors already in the ministry. We have some graduated students who started already churches. We have students who graduated from the seminary are also starting their churches, Iraqis. They were Iraqis, one of them in Sweden, one of them in Detroit. So there's many chances. The Lord is blessing us with them. We have four graduated returned back to their country. One returned back to Syria. His name is Naami, and he is serving in a church, and the church is growing. We have 3 now in Egypt. 1 in Cairo, the capital, 2 in south part, Sa'id, southern part of Egypt. So the Lord is blessing the ministry.
So it sounds like you've sent them out to a lot of other countries, maybe not per se in Jordan?
In Jordan, we have pastors who trained in the seminary and went back to their churches, other evangelical churches. Okay. So there is many of them trained and get their degrees in our seminary and went back to their churches. Yes, and they have to sign our faith law. And we are teaching our faith law in the seminary. Despite whatever you are believe in, this is our faith, and you have to sign it. You may stay on what you believe, but we are teaching this in our seminary. So they are accepting because it's and there is a big difference for sure, but it's still we are teaching the Bible, so... They are, most of them were living in Jordan, working in Jordan. As I told, there is more than 700,000 Egyptian laborers in Jordan. So most of them are from Christian background. And the Biblical Theological Seminary is well known now in Jordan. So people hearing about it and came. And we can't accept any student without a recommendation letter from his pastor, from his church. So we are not accepting anybody. You are just accepting the people who are looking for what the Lord put in their hearts to go to the ministry someday. Any question or?
I'll keep going, I guess. If there are the Muslim families in your church become believers, what was their journey like? How did that come together?
How they become Christian?
Yeah.
You know, some of them were watching TV, satellite TV. There is many programs in Arabic speaking about Islam and how worse Islam and how will be if you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, how your life will be changing. Most of them hearing from that. Some of them hearing from their neighbors, you know, when they are very good relationship. But the two families in our church hearing from the satellite and came to the church and accepted the Lord Jesus Christ in our church. But it's not easy for them to be in a church. You know, they may get killed if their families knew about them. But they are taking, because you know in Islam, if you are converted, they have the right to stone you till death. It is not legal in Jordan, but what will the law say if the Quran teach that? They may give them very short period in jail, but still they can do that. And there is many people who get killed because they converted to Christianity. Yes, in Jordan, in Syria, in Iraq, in Algeria, everywhere. But now the church is growing. You know, in Algeria, it is the most growing church in the Arab country. Many, many, many Muslims is coming every day to Christ in Algeria. Yeah. You know, one we were in Algeria and one came to me and he said, you know, we are not supposed to be Muslims. Our country was Christian country before Islam invade our country. So we are going back to our roots. We are not converted. We are going back to our roots. That's why many of them are. We've been traveling to Europe in a camps, crusades, especially among Arabs there, Algerian, Tunisian, from Morocco. And it's you know, it's an open country there, so you can't share the gospel in the street. So many of them were praying with us, accepting the Lord Jesus Christ. So north part of Africa is, especially these 3 countries, are, you know, more open now for Christianity. And are their people are a little bit have some different mind than Arabs.
You have many Palestinians there?
Palestinians in Jordan, they are more than 45%. And they have all rights like Jordanian. They have Jordanian passports. So now they are citizens, Jordanian citizens, but they are not recognized themselves as a Jordanian citizen. They always keep saying we are Palestinian. So that's some part of the problem with our neighbors. Yeah. Yeah. Always, because you know, it's not radical or not radical. It's what the Quran teaches. You know, as a Christian, we are reading our Bible, we are believing in the Bible, so we are believing every single word here. So that's the same for them. So every Muslim believe and practicing Islam in his heart, he is radical. But you don't know when his radicality will raise up and attack you. So Jordan is under threat, under attack, but we don't know till when. And the good story for Jordan, we are still safe, I think, because of our good relation, both sides, with Israel and with West, with the state, with Canada, with Europe also. So, and because we have the longest border side with Israel, it's more than 300 miles. So the safety of Israel depends sometimes on the safety of Jordan. So that's why Jordan still, stand till now. And I think there is a promise in the Bible that Ammon and Moab will be safe till then. Yes.
Do you have any
Palestinian
friends in Jordan?
They have to keep balance between politics and religion there. To protect their governments, to protect their seats, they have to act sometimes in religious way. And they have, as a politician, they have to be acting like that they are, practicing their Islam also, to keep going. There is no separation like here. It's mixed together there. But politics everywhere is politics. There is no God in politics, it's just politics.
How long does your king serve? Is he a lifetime until he dies?
Yes. Yes, he inherits his position from his dad, his father.
Is the loyalty great to the king?
Jordanian, especially Jordanian from the real Jordanians are very loyal to the king. And Jordan is very tribe country. Tribe are, in control. So that's also one of the reasons that Jordan is still safe. That the Jordanian tribes are very strong.
Are they represented in the government?
Yes, they must be. The biggest, the largest tribes in Jordan always in authority, very close to the king. He wants to protect his place and the country. So they... There is a parliament. They elected the members of the parliament, but the other position in the ministry there, the king will choose them according to their families, to their. other challenge in the ministry? I think you may hear facing the same challenge. People do not want to come to the churches. They want to just keep playing, watching TV, going here and there. So the same challenge there. But you know, now we have a very good movement back from the youth. So the churches is not going to die very soon. Yeah, you can find both. They are very, very, very looking forward to live the Western lifestyle. And there is many of them are leaving Islam now, became an atheist because what is going on in the region? If this is Islam, especially the young people, we don't want it. We need to live in peace with each other. And it's not, you know, since long time ago, it wasn't like this, the situation there. We were living together. There is nobody also tell. 30 years ago, you may not hear, are you Christian? Now, every day you hear this question, are you Christian? Are you Muslim? Are you so? But, you know, the churches now is working, especially the evangelical churches were working with the youth people. And there is a good percentage. It may happen, but till now it seems not. You know, people are now rejecting, not all of them, some of them are rejecting Islam. I don't think that there will be any influence from any Muslim leader on them because they are taking their decision. We don't want to be Muslims anymore. Because of the government and because of the intelligence department. But Islam is still Islam, people are still the same. The government is still strong, the government in control. Our secret intelligence department is very, very strong and they are working together with some people from here. We have an American army based in Jordan, so there is a good protection for Jordan. Tell now what you don't know what will happen. Iraq was protected by everybody, and it became a mess suddenly. Yeah? So I don't know what will happen.
All right, this is the last question and the toughest one of all. What's the favorite food of
Jordanians? Okay. There is a tradition dish in Jordan, they called it mansaf. Mansaf. Mansaf is a huge dish of rice. They make it like, you know, like this. Then they cover it by lamb meat. And they fry some nuts and they throw on the top. And they took the head of the lamb and put it in the middle. Cooking. It's not. It's very delicious. It's not a pit. The lamb is not a pit. It's not a dog. So okay. And they serve it with cooking yogurt, but it is very delicious. And the Bedouin have to eat it by their hand. No, not by spoon. Ah, it will be very delicious. If you come to Jordan, I will let you try. You will love it. You will not say, oh. You know, most of our American friends, when they come to our house or somewhere, and we will let them eat by hand, they love it. You know, it's different. It's different experience. I hope that someday we'll have you all there. We will eat mansaf. Thank you for this time.
All right.
Okay.
Well, we're going to have a word of prayer, and then we'll get ready for our worship service. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this time. Thank you for the opportunity to get some insight with regards to ministry in Jordan. And we ask, Lord, that you just bless the ministries there. It's exciting to hear about
not only Jordanians, but different refugees that are coming to know you as their Lord and Savior. So continue to bless the work there for Mazzaro's family as he's away. Watch over them. Keep them safe. Bless his time here in the United States. Just use him, Lord, to speak to many Christians' hearts and to help us to understand better ministry there. Bless the morning worship service. Let it bring honor and glory to you in Jesus' name. Amen.